Blog Talk Radio.
Tuned to Time to Talk About It with Apostle Gloria Cheever Porter. My name is Sister Diane. I will open up with prayer and she will be on as soon. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your name, Lord. We magnify your name. Lord, you're King of kings and Lords of lords, and there is no other God but you. You're the Alpha and the Omega. You're the beginning and the end, the first and the last, our Creator. And we say thank you. We thank you, Lord, Father, for waking us up this morning, clothed in our right mind, Lord, Father, for many did not wake up this morning, Lord, Father. Father, we take nothing and no one for granted, Lord Father. We give you all honor, we give you glory, and we give you praise, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, Heavenly Father, as I come before you, Lord Father, Father, we ask you, O God, for forgiveness of all sin that we have committed against you in thought, deeds, actions, knowingly and unknowingly, Father, grieving the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we ask for your forgiveness. And Father, as you are just to forgive us, we forgive those that trespassed against us. Father, we're touching and agreeing right now, Lord Father. Father, for those that ask for prayer, Lord Father, not just for themselves, Lord Father, but for the loved ones, Lord Father. And we're thanking you right now, Lord Father, for your will being done in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Ernest Thomas, Lord Father, that has kidney failure, Lord Father. Father, we know that you're bigger than kidney failure, you're bigger than cancer, you're bigger than any sickness, Lord Father. And Father, we're thanking you right now, Lord Father, for your will being done in the name of Jesus. Touch him right now, Lord Father. Touch him right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we know you can do it, Lord Father. Father, you have touched Barbara that had stage 4 cancer, Lord Father. You're bigger. You're bigger, Lord Father. We thank you, for you said by your stripes we are healed. And Father, if we can only trust and believe, Lord Father, Father, that your will be done in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we hold before you the Virgil family, Lord Father. On the loss of his wife, Lord Father, we ask that you continue to strengthen him, Lord Father, as he raised his daughters, Lord Father. Shield and protect them, Lord. Continue to comfort his heart, Lord Father. Touch all those that have lost loved ones, Lord Father. Continue to touch the Whitley family, Lord Father, the Burns family, Lord Father. Father, Mr. Otis family, Lord Father, continue to touch them right now in the name of Jesus as you give them the comfort and the peace that they need in you. In the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Mr. Mantonio right now, Lord Father, that has kidney stones, Lord Father. Father, touch right now, Lord Father, that I'm passing through right now in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Vianne, Lord Father. We ask that you continue, Lord Father, to touch her body in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. Strengthen her, Lord Father, as she continue to recover from her surgery in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Nikki and Patricia right now, Lord Father. We come against that pneumonia in Nikki right now, Lord Father, as we speak healing to her body in Jesus' name, Father. You said, by your stripes we are healed, Lord Father. And we're thanking you right now, oh God, for your healing virtue flowing through and through her right now, Lord. Touch her mother, Lord Father, that has COVID, Lord Father. Oh, Father, we speak to that immune system right now, Lord Father. Father, strengthen it right now, Lord Father. Father, as we touch and agree with them, Lord Father, we thanking you right now, Lord Father, for your will being done in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Allison right now, Lord Father, as we pray for peace of mind. We praying for peace of mind right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, we glorify and magnify you, Lord. Father, we thanking you, Lord Father, for continually, Lord Father, strengthening Elder Bolden right now, Lord Father. Father, as he, Lord Father, is there to support and help, Lord Father, his mom and his wife right now, Lord Father. Continue to give them, Lord Father, the strength that they need and the loss of their loved one also. In the name of Jesus, Lord Father, we thanking you right now, Lord. We glorifying you, Lord Father. We thank you, Lord Father, for Barbara being in remission, Lord Father. Father, we thank you for hearing and answering prayers, Lord Father. Oh, Father, we bless your name, Lord Father. We glorify and magnify you, Lord. Father, we thank you that you're a just and merciful God, Lord Father. We thank you, oh God, that you're a God of many chances, Lord Father. Father, for those, Lord Father, that think, Lord Father, they cannot come to you, oh Lord. Oh, Father, let them hear the word today, Lord Father. Father, that you're God of many chances, Lord Father. Father, if they can only just come and repent, Lord Father, and accept you as their Lord and Savior, Lord Father. Come back to you, Lord Father, knowing, oh God, that the safest place right now to be, Lord, is in you, Lord Father. Amen. Father, we thank you right now for keeping your people in the ark of safety, O God. Father, touch in a mighty and a special way, Lord Father. This world needs you, Lord Father. Your people are crying out for you right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord Father. Heavenly Father, we cover this broadcast under the blood, canceling every assignment that was sent towards this broadcast to try and hinder anyone speaking or listening on this broadcast. And we render it null and void in the name of Jesus. It's covered under the blood. Father, we thank you for using this broadcast to touch nations, Lord, to make difference in people's lives right now as they hear the broadcast, oh God. We thanking you right now for change of mindset, oh God, change of hearts right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. We thank you and glorifying you, Lord Father, for using the man and woman of God to continually come on this broadcast, Lord Father. We thank you for Apostle Porter, Lord Father. Father, we thank you for using them in a mighty and a special way, Lord Father. Now, Father, as Elder Addison, Lord Father, prepare to come on and give the word, Lord Father, we ask that she let go and let God, Lord Father. We ask that you decrease in her, O God, as you increase in her right now, Lord Father. Show up and show out, Lord Father, as that rhema word come forth, Lord Father. Not her will, Lord Father, but your will be done. In the name of Jesus, Lord Father, we thank you also, Lord Father, as we ask you to decrease my apostle and bishop, Lord Father, as you increase in them, Lord Father, and they follow up with the word, Lord Father. We thank you for using them, Lord. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to take over this broadcast. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Have your way. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for healing and deliverance today, Lord. We thank you for the ears to hear and the heart to receive the word as it come forth this day, Lord, Father, knowing that your word is always this day, Lord. Father, we thank you, we glorify and magnify you for all that you're doing, all that you have done and about to do, Lord Father. Continue, O God, to touch our listeners, Lord Father. You know what they're in need of, Lord Father, and we thank you for supplying all their needs, Lord Father. We thank you for covering them under the blood, Lord Father, as they go, Lord Father, to their jobs, Lord Father. We thank you for traveling mercies for them right now, Lord Father. Father, we thank you for the spirit of awareness and alertness, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen as we ask all this, Lord Father, in your precious name. Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. We thank God, amen, for Sister Diane and for the prayers that already went up before Almighty God, because truly he is a praying God. The Lord said that man shall always pray and not faint. And that thing means don't quit, don't stop, don't give up. Praise God, because he will hear and answer prayer. He declared according to his word in Isaiah 65:24, while we yet calling, he said he will answer. He said, while we yet speaking, he will hear. Oh, he's always right there with outstretched arms. And whosoever will, let them come. And if you come, he will in no wise cast you out. Amen. And in other words, you and I got to do something. He's not going to do it all. Amen. He said, if you draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to you. Amen. Am I right? Oh, praise the Lord. Man, and you can call. Amen. Call in. Praise God. The number is 347-857-3925. And this Master One on your phone, praise God, wherever you may be. Amen. And all we are right here, we'll pray for you now. Man, we have our speaker on. Praise God. Ella Yvonne Addison from Durham, North Carolina. Praise God is our speaker today. Praise God, a woman of God, mighty, amen, in the faith. Amen. God is using her mightily. Man, and I just thank God for, praise the Lord. Amen. Man, and she is about God's business. And this is what it's all about now in these times. Amen. We have to learn to forget about those things that are behind, man, because there's trouble on every hand. Come on now, am I right? Man, everybody, amen, have some trouble. Praise the Lord. Man, but thank God that we are not victims, but we are victorious through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We are more than a conqueror. Oh, man, we do honor, amen, my beautiful flower today. Amen, Apostle Gloria Porter. Amen, amen. I thank God for her. I thank God for Pastor Sharon and Pastor George and for City of Victory. Oh, Evangelist Sarissa. I just thank God, amen, for God people everywhere. Amen. I just thank God for how the Lord is using us in these last and evil days, knowing that his word is going to all four corners of the earth and not returning unto him void, but it's accomplished what he pleases. And you know, the only safe place in this universe, and Sister Diane said it in her prayers, is in Jesus Christ. Am I right? Amen. Oh, Jesus, amen, you save. He is our refuge. Man, and you come to him, everything will be all right. He'll cover you. He'll protect you. He'll watch over you. He owns sin. He owns knowing God. And he's everywhere, all at the same time. I'm not the speaker. Praise the Lord. Amen. I felt something there. Praise God. Let me give you amen, a little thought, amen, a word for today, amen, and we, you know, get ready to turn it over into the hands, amen, of our speaker. We know that she is ready. Praise God, amen. She is ready, amen. And when people are ready, we don't want to hold them, amen. Turn them loose, praise God, and let them, amen, cry loud and spare not. And let me give you a little word here. Okay. Faith practice does not perish. Hope that is exercised does not evaporate. Love that is genuine is not jealousy. Let me read that again. Faith that is practiced does not perish. Hope that is exercised does not evaporate. Get the word out. And love that is genuine is not jealous. Thank God, amen, for that. Praise God. Amen. God is a good God. Amen. See, where's your faith today? See, if you just have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, see, it don't take a whole lot. And don't say I don't have faith. Each and every one, up under the sound of my voice, have faith. Amen. Amen. You have to learn to exercise it. Amen. And when you act, amen, on you, the word of God, amen, you activate your faith because he will never let you down. And that's what God's eyes is doing even as I speak. He says his eyes go to and fro, up and down in the earth, looking for faith in the earth. Amen. If you show God some faith, amen, he'll move in your life. Now, tears don't move him. Amen. He ain't going to get in no pity party with you. Come on now. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. You're twiddling your fingers and feeling sorry for yourself. He ain't going to get in that with you. Man, but if you show him some faith, praise God, he will move in your life. I declare that. Amen. I know it for a fact. Amen. If you trust God for his word, amen, because everything is going down but the word of God, amen. This is the time, amen, that we are living in now, amen, and we just thank God for God's people. Praise God, amen. And if we ever needed to stand firm on God's words, it's time now, not only with the coronavirus, but it's so much trouble, amen, in the land. Amen. Because the devil know his time is winding up. Praise God. And if we ever needed to be steadfast, unmovable, but always abiding in the work of the Lord, it's time now. Am I right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Ain't no time now to be taken down. Amen. We need to stay on our posts. Amen. We need to stay on our posts and pay attention, as Pastor Sharon say all the time. And we need to watch. Amen. And that's what Jesus say do. He say watch as well as pray. Praise the Lord. Amen. We got to watch now. Praise God. The devil is so cunning. Amen. In these last days, he transforming himself as an angel of light. Praise God. And if you're not in Christ, baptized with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, man, you would not be able. You know, Jesus even said, if it was possible, he'll fool the very elect. But thank God, you know, and I tell the church all the time, every word in the Bible is important, especially them little words. Jesus said, if it were possible. If is a condition, a possibility. Yet saying the same thing today. If you will, he will. He said, if it was possible, he'll fool the very elect. Amen. But he put that if there. Praise God. So we need to know, amen, the spirit of error from the spirit of truth. Even as I speak to you now, you need to know the spirit of error from the spirit of truth. I can't miss it when I'm lifting up the name of Jesus, because he declared if he be lifted up from the earth, he will draw all men unto him. It's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ. We can't miss it when we lift up Jesus. Why, Bishop? Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. Oh, praise the Lord. God bless you today. Amen. Now I'm going to decrease. I'm going to decrease. And let the woman of God, praise God, come forth and increase. Amen. Because I know she's ready, amen, to give you, amen, what God has shared with her. Amen. Amen. We want, amen, to give her ample time, amen, to let the Lord have his way in her. Amen. I want you to hear ye her, Ella Yvonne Addison. Praise God. Amen. From Eager Ministry. Praise God. Eager Ministry. I didn't mess that up. Eager Ministry. Praise God. Yeah. Sister Ella Addison, you got the floor.
Praise God. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. And this is the day that the Lord has made and shall rejoice and be glad in it. And I just bless the Lord on this morning for this opportunity to come before you. Good morning. Good morning, City of Victory. God is good. And Sister Diane, just thank you so much for that prayer that just brought us in right into the presence of the Lord. I just, the presence of the Lord is here. Praise God. And I just give God the glory, the honor, and the praise. And just to, you know, to give honor to Bishop and to Apostle Gloria, just thank God for the man and woman of God who have just poured so much into my life, who's just full of wisdom and love and compassion for people. So I just bless God for them. They're awesome man and woman of God. So I bless the Lord on this morning. Praise God. It's just the sweet spirit of the Lord. I bless the Lord. And it is Wings of Eagles Christian Church in Durham, North Carolina. My pastors are Apostle Burnell and Prophetess Juliet Austin. And so we bless the Lord for them. Praise God. I just want to, this is mental health, this is Mental Health Month, Mental Health Awareness Month. And today I'm going to come to you with some information, teaching, you know, however the Lord leads me to do it. But it's not a preaching type of message, but more of teaching on today. And so I pray that that what is said, you know, that the Holy Spirit will enlighten us. I pray that the God will give us the ears to hear and the heart to receive what the Lord is saying to us on today about mental health and why it's important that we know about that now. Indeed, especially during this time, as Bishop said earlier, you know, everything that's been going on with the virus, with the COVID-19, with all of the other things going on, social injustice, racism, just so much is just going on right now. And so it's important that we know, you know, about mental health and how to keep, how we can stay mentally healthy. You know, we will go to the doctor. Most of us go to the doctor for our annual visits, and you know, we want to make sure that we're staying healthy, physically healthy. And so the same should be, we should have that same awareness and have that same desire to have good mental health. And so what does that mean? What is mental health? Mental health is a state of well-being in which the individual realizes his or her own abilities and can cope with normal stresses of life. And we all know that we do have, you know, we do have stresses in life. Things happen, normal stresses of life, you know, so that we can cope with those and can work productively and fruitfully and be able to make a contribution to our communities. Mental health is also the successful performance of mental function resulting in productive activities, fulfilling relationships, being able to adapt change and cope with adversities. So as, you know, things happen in life, life happens. So having, you know, mental health is the ability to be able to change, to adapt, to cope with those things that happen in our lives. So before I go on further, I just want to pray. Lord, we'll just thank you for this opportunity to come before you, O Lord God. I thank you, for Lord, for speaking to us on today. I ask that the Holy Spirit will guide us and lead us, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak through me. I decrease as the Holy Spirit increases. Lord, I thank you for just providing the opportunity to help us to know and to understand about mental health, about our emotions, what we can do through your word, oh Lord. God, I thank you that you care so much about us, every aspect of our lives, even our mental health. So, Lord, I thank you for that. So I ask that the Holy Spirit will just speak through me, and I pray that the word that is released will touch our hearts, and we will receive it and be able to apply it as needed. In Jesus' name, amen. So we talked about the mental health, and we talked about the definition of that, being able to cope and being able to cope with normal stresses of life. So one of the things that in talking about mental health, we are specifically focusing on emotions today. You know, sometimes we have our emotions. We can get out, you know, wear our emotions on our sleeves. And what I mean by that is sometimes that things happen, or we encounter situations, and we're so quick to react and respond in a way that it does not line up with God's word, that it's not pleasing in God's sight. We may come out of character because we're wearing those emotions on our sleeve, so to speak. And so when we're talking about emotions and understanding our emotions, we have emotions. Jesus had emotions. He was emotional because he was both divine and human. And we're going to talk about some of the ways that he demonstrated or showed emotional states through love, pity, compassion, mercy, and anger, and sadness. So if Jesus had emotions, if he was emotional, and God created us, then we are going to have our emotions, but it's how we handle them and how we react to the situations around us. And one of the things that we're talking about that in understanding our emotions is emotional intelligence. And what that is, that's the capability of individuals to recognize their own emotions and those of others. So that's interesting, because when we are recognizing our emotions and then being able to recognize the emotions of others, and then discern between different feelings and give them and understand the feelings, being able to discern the different feelings, and then being able to label what they are, to identify what they are. And so using emotional information to guide our behavior, our thinking, and then to adjust our emotions to adapt to the environment. So emotional intelligence is the capability of individuals to recognize their own emotions and those of others, and discern between different feelings, and then label them appropriately, and then use emotional information to help direct or guide our thinking and our behavior, and then adjust our emotions accordingly to what's going on in the environment. So this is so important, especially for leaders to know, that being able to understand those that they're leading, to able to discern their emotions and their feelings, and be able to label those feelings, those emotions appropriately, so that they can know how to guide their thinking and their behavior. And as I said, Jesus was emotional, because he was both human and divine. So let's look at that. The Gospels mention some emotional states of Jesus that that show love, pity, compassion, mercy, and anger, and sadness. So John 11:5 is an example of love. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So Jesus showed love. He had deep compassion. He had deep love for Martha and her sister and for Lazarus. Even when he heard when Lazarus had died, he wept. So he cried. He was saddened by it. And so he showed sadness. And that's an example of love. And then there's an example of compassion in Mark 6 and 34. It said, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. My goodness, he had compassion. Sometimes we think about if we, in our environment, in our circle of interaction with people, you know, whether you're a leader and you're in a ministry, a leader on your job, a leader in your family, you know, a leader in your community, whatever it may be, you know, showing compassion is a form of emotions. And so when Jesus began, he had compassion on them. He saw what their need was. He saw what they needed. And sometimes that's when we are operating out of emotional intelligence, is understanding the need of those around us, understanding the emotions that they're going through, understanding their feelings. And so what did he do? He just didn't have compassion, but then he went into action and he did something. So he began teaching them many things. So he saw the need. He saw what they were going through, and he acted on that. And then in Matthew chapter 20, verses 30 and 34 is an example of mercy. Oh, my goodness. God bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for mercy. Amen. And we think about all the things that we've experienced in our lives, things that have happened, what we have, you know, we stepped outside of God's will. He had mercy on us. Amen. And so in Matthew 20, verses 30 to 34, it says, and two blind men sitting by the road, hearing that Jesus was passing by, cried out, Lord, have mercy on us. Amen. How many times have we cried out and asked the Lord to have mercy on us? Amen. And he has never failed. God has never failed. Amen. We cry out to him, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. They're acknowledging who he is. And the crowds told them sternly, to be quiet. But they cried out all the more, Lord, son of David, have mercy on us. And Jesus stopped and called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? Somebody needs to cry out on today, Lord, have mercy on me. And Jesus will stop. He will answer. He will listen to you. He will say, what do you want me to do for you? And cry out to him. And they said to him, Lord, we want our eyes to be opened. Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight and followed him. Crying out to the Lord, Lord, have mercy on us. That's what this nation needs to do. Lord, have mercy on us. What the world needs to do, Lord, have mercy on us. And the Lord, and when he says, when he speaks, what do you want me to do for you? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So having that confidence and knowing that God said he would never leave us nor forsake us, that's showing his mercy, amen, that he would never leave us nor forsake us. And so he's there. He's listening. He's looking throughout the whole world to who he can show himself strong to in the name of Jesus. And so there is no place that you can be, no place you can hide, no situation that you God can't find you if you cry out to him, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on us. And so when he was moved with compassion and again did something, he touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight, and they followed him. And even after they regained their sight, they didn't go about, well, okay, you know, didn't just forget about what Jesus did. You know, just, okay, Jesus, thank you. You know, we'll see you later. But no, what did they do? They followed. They didn't return to to their old way of life, of living. They didn't take on the things of the world. They could have easily done that. You know, their eyes are open now. I'm sure there were things that were exciting and things that were, you know, new to them and things they had not experienced. I'm sure that the world could have offered them worldly things. But what did they do? When they regained their sight, they followed him. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. And so when we regain our sight, our spiritual sight, when we regain the knowledge of who, gain the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is and following him, when our eyes of understanding are open, we follow him. When we're delivered and set free, we follow him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And then in Mark chapter 3, verse 5, it's an example of anger. And when he had looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of the hearts, he said unto unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. So although anger is viewed as a negative emotion, there are times when a person can be angry for appropriate reasons. And this is what Jesus did. In this particular situation, his anger was a result of ungodly attitudes and actions by those around him. So he, you know, so anger can be good, but it has to be motivated. It has to be properly motivated by something. We can get angry, you know, at the situations going on around us, like poverty or someone mistreating children or, you know, injustice and social injustice, or, you know, those are some situations that anger can be properly motivated. And then we must act appropriately when we are angry. So even though Jesus was angry in the situation, he still did what he needed to do. He still healed. He was asking the religious leaders, you know, about performing a healing on a Sabbath, but they didn't respond to him, and he became angry about it, because they was more concerned about themselves than actually, you know, the person that needed healing. And so anger can move us when it's properly motivated to do something, to bring about change, to motivate us to change some things, to do some things. And so out of control emotions always work against us. So we see people who get really angry about things and get out of control, and that anger works against them. So a person who is, you may come encounter someone who seems to be angry all the time. They're sarcastic. They're belittling people, and that may not even know it, because that anger is so deeply embedded. And a lot of times anger, although may be the forefront of the emotion, there are always underlying other emotions. But because anger is the most easily emotion to express where it is accepted. So what I mean by that is that people get angry, you know, but it's hard for someone to say, well, I'm sad, or I am frustrated, or I'm disappointed, or I'm angry, you know, I'm sad, I'm hurt, you know, I'm hurt, I have this pain because of the trauma, I have this, I have been betrayed by loved ones, and so it's hard, it's more difficult for a person, an individual, especially men, to express that, those emotions, but anger is more accepted. So I hope that I explained that well enough. But a person can be angry and not know that they are displaying different types of behavior, like, you know, saying unkind words to someone, just being short and not even realizing those things are happening. But one thing about it, that if anger or any emotion is not controlled, things can happen because it's a build up. So we are at risk of driving up our blood pressure, you know, developing an ulcer, and other health issues as well. So sometimes if you're having health issues, you know, check out, you know, if you're angry about something, if there's unforgiveness, you know, that has not been dealt with. And then lack of awareness and therefore self-control will lead us to violate our own values and standards. We'll turn people off and not understanding why. You know, so being quick to react and being quick to respond in a way without thinking about what you need to say, or bringing your emotion under control. And why is that emotion control? Why have you given that emotion so much control over your life? And thinking about that. So when we're talking about emotions, as I said, emotions don't have to have us. And they don't, but we don't have to be controlled by our emotions. So encounters, when we're thinking about emotions, encounters may be different, but the reality of the emotions is the same. We can be free, we should be free on how we feel in a healthy way. We should be able to express our emotions in a healthy way. And for some individuals, that may be a challenge. It may be difficult to do that because of reasons maybe in their past. They've been told that, you know, you don't express your emotions, or, you know, it's don't cry. You know, that's a sign of weakness. Or even just expressing your emotions, how you feel, may be a sign of weakness. So emotions can trick you into acting irrationally or unfaithfully. They, when we're in a state of emotion, you know, it's not the best time to make important decisions, because we make decisions based on how we are feeling at the time. Emotions are not wrong. You know, Jesus turned over the money changers' tables, weeping when he heard Lazarus had died. And he was praying, Father, take this cup from me. You know, so he had emotions. Emotions can inspire us to change. And we go into, when we start fasting and praying and becoming more dependent on God, and when we realize, you know, my emotions, I'm just really out of control right now. You know, I feel my emotions are a burden, or I feel that my emotions have control over me right now. So this can be a driving point. This can be a time to really become more dependent on God and to, you know, get in his presence, to pray, to fast, and to find out, you know, how, what God is saying about your situation, to get in his presence and allow the Holy Spirit to minister, and allow to, you know, the Holy Spirit to reveal, you know, what is it? What is that emotion? Why is that emotion, why are you responding that way and, you know, with that particular emotion? Emotions can inspire us toward love and compassion. And so we don't have to feel guilty about being emotional, but be honest about how you're responding, how you're reacting, and how those emotions come out. So, we have emotions. God created us, as we see Jesus had, you know, expressed emotions in different ways, but it is how we respond and how we react to certain situations. And as we, you know, we have the fruit of the Spirit, you know, the fruit of the Spirit. And when we begin to nurture the fruit of the Spirit, then our emotions are going to, we'll be able to react in a different way with our emotions. And when situations happen, we will move by the fruit of the Spirit. And so allowing the Holy Spirit to develop that in us, to really nurture that. And how do we nurture the fruit of the Spirit? By practicing, by being intentional about loving, being intentional about being gentle, being intentional about being kind, being intentional about being patient and having temperance, you know, and long suffering, all the fruit of the Spirit, you know, being intentional about those things, having joy. So sometimes it's just making sure that instead of the emotions, you know, relying on our emotions, but relying on the fruit of the Spirit, you know, and being intentional about those, about the fruit of the Spirit. And so our emotions can also, there are different types of emotions that, when we're talking about emotions, our emotions can make us feel certain ways. And one of those is lonely, feeling lonely. And loneliness is an emotion, especially during the pandemic, that many people experienced this emotion of feeling lonely because we were, you know, we had the social distancing and we were, you know, out of contact with people that we socialized with and even, you know, with our church participation and all those things. So experience loneliness. But people can also feel lonely even in the midst of a crowd. People can feel lonely even in their marriages or in their other relationships. So feeling used, you know, being there for people and people expect you to be there for them but feel no responsibility to be there for you can cause people to feel lonely. You know, that's happened before, you know, feeling that, okay, we you know, do things and pour out and be there for everyone, and then we expect them to be there for us, but no responsibility to be there for you. But then we have to check that out. You know, what are we doing? What's the motive for doing these things? We should do it out of compassion, as Jesus did. You know, have compassion for people, not expecting anything back, but just doing because God has led you to do that. And that's another thing, going before the Lord and just making sure that what you are doing or what you're being called to do, God is saying, is giving you the, ordaining you to do that. And then being misunderstood, misinterpretation of what you say, misunderstanding the reason you might have to make decisions or hard decisions. You know, sometimes communication, people are misunderstood in their communication or misunderstood in their, you know, what they are doing or the decisions they have to make without really knowing all the details that's associated with it. And then insecurity. Insecurity is another emotion, and that is second-guessing your decisions, second-guessing the call on your life, comparing yourself to others' gifts, their talents, you know, jealousy. So that's another emotion that people experience. And being overwhelmed, that's stress, not being able to balance life, not being able to just have a balance in your life with your relationships, with God, with family, with work, you know, all the things that we have to do, but having a sense of being overwhelmed. And then feeling inadequate, you know, feeling inadequate, not being able to do what God has called you to do, having that spirit of competition. You know, you have to do it like you want to minister or you want to whatever your ministry is. It's a ministry of health, ministry of administration, ministry of, you know, whatever it may be. And even if in your home, you know, I'm not just talking about church related, but I'm also speaking about, you know, ministry in our homes, ministry in our relationships. And that's another thing we think about, that we're talking about ministry is just a place of, you know, standing in the pulpit, but that's not it. Ministry can be in your marriage, your home, your family, your community, you know, whatever God has called you to do, your gift, whatever that gift, whatever that talent is, to be used for God's glory. But the enemy will try to make us feel sometimes that we are inadequate because we start comparing ourselves. Or, you know, this person has excelled. They appear to be successful. You know, they're doing great things. and then we start feeling inadequate, and then a spirit of competition will set in. And then trying to be all things to all people. We cannot be all things to all people. We just can't do that. God is the only one who can be all things to all people. And so being all things to all people will cause burnout, will cause stress. And so we have to realize, who has God called you to? You know, where's your lane? Sometimes we just need to stay in our lane and what we have called to do, the grace that's on our lives. You know, understanding what is your grace? Where is that grace? And understanding that and just staying in your lane, because you can't be all things to all people. And it's okay to say no. Problem sometimes saying no, especially as believers, that we have a problem saying no because we feel like we have to do everything that people ask us to do. But is God saying for you to do it? And it's okay to say no. And if people get upset, then that's not your, you don't have to take on that. You just realize that, okay, so, you know, you can't do it at that time. If they can't accept that, then that is their something that they have to deal with and have to, you know, understand for themselves and work that out through themselves. Thank you, Lord. And so understanding our emotions, you know, our emotions can be good and they can be negative if we allow them to. And then understanding, this is a big one, you will make mistakes. We all make mistakes. And sometimes we beat ourselves up because we are focusing so much on that mistake that our eyes are not focused, our heart is not focused on the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And so focusing on our mistakes can open the door to the fear of failure and fear of not moving forward, fear of success. You know, fear would stop us in our tracks if we allow it to. So we can't beat ourselves up because we make mistakes. What do? We learn from those mistakes. We learn from what happened with that. What did God want me to get out of that situation? What is it that he wants me to learn from it? And then learn it. Then apply it. Apply the change. You know, we are renewed by our minds so that, you know, we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so we can be transformed. That mistake does not have to identify us. It does not have to shape and form, you know, who we are, influence us. But that mistake can be, something that will help us to move forward. And also, when we learn from those mistakes, we can help others as well. We see someone else struggling with that same situation. And so in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, reads, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ." No, I'm not there yet. We're not perfect, but we're moving on. Everything and everything that Jesus has for us, and we can't allow those things, those situations, those mistakes to stand in our way. We can't let it be a roadblock to where God is taking us. And so if we're trusting in the Lord, we have made Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, nothing will stand in the way because he has us. He has a hold of us, amen, and will not let go. So it says, "I'm apprehended of Jesus Christ." He has a hold in us, and he's not going to let us go. So the mistakes, do not allow the mistakes to define who you are. You're fearfully and wonderfully made, and our soul knows right well, in the name of Jesus. So you may become discouraged or depressed due to feelings of wanting to give up. We can't give up. First, Galatians 6, chapter 9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." So don't become weary in well-doing. You know, we can, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We can do all things through Christ who gives us the strength to do it. So we have, we can, you know, trust the Lord, stay in his presence, and he will give us the strength to keep moving. Pride, understanding about pride. You know, pride can be a downfall. Excuse me. Pride can be a downfall. We have to stay before the Lord so that if there's any pride in our heart, you know, asking the Lord to remove it. So controlling our emotions should glorify the outcome of our emotions. Controlling our emotions, the outcome of that is glorifying God, and it shouldn't be a struggle. In 1 Samuel chapter 25, describes how Abigail and how she controlled her emotions when her husband, who could not control his emotions, stayed in control to protect the family. Abigail could have operated out of fear, but she learned to control her emotions for the moment there, for what was needed at that moment. And we all should guard our emotions. We have to guard emotions. Sometimes we can find ourselves in negative environments around people who are negative, around people who just are toxic. And so if you find yourself in that type of environment for a very long time, you have to watch, because you might stop, you know, acting or taking on the emotions of those around you. Guard your heart. We have to guard our hearts and our minds. Some people are just prone to, they just like chameleons, they're just like a sponge. I'm sorry, just like they are prone to absorbing the energy and the mood of other people around them. So if there's a lot of negativity, whatever the emotion is, they begin to absorb it. They begin to take it on for themselves. And if that happens, if you find yourself in an environment like that, that's the time to steal away, to go away, to take some time to be alone and to get with the Lord, and just to find, you know, identify what those emotions are. Identify it and then be able to ask the Lord to help you, you know, with those strong emotions and not to react or respond out of character. Emotions can be contagious, so we have to be on guard for that. Negative emotions can set the atmosphere in your home, in your church, in your workplace. So that's why it's important that we guard our hearts, we guard our minds to those things, and check out the atmosphere that you're in. Watch the atmosphere. Be aware of what is going on in your surroundings. Those negative emotions, go to prayer. Start praying. And praying for your home, praying for peace, praying that that you will not take on those emotions of what's around you. And Proverbs 4, 23-27. Watch over your heart with all diligence. Far from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead. Let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Amen. So when we're looking at this, this is how we guard our hearts. This is how we guard our mind. Put away evil speech. You know, if the people around you are speaking negative things, our words trap us. Our words have power, and they can, once they're released into the atmosphere, they have power. The enemy can take those words and use those words against us. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. Watch over your heart, because it flows the springs of life. So guarding our hearts is very important as we are controlling our emotions. Some ways that you can boost your mood and emotions: make sure you're getting enough rest, eat well. And I know that sometimes with stress, we want to eat all the things that are not healthy for us, you know, all the chocolates and the sweets and the salty things, and those that's because of stress. We have to eat well, eat things that are healthy for us. exercise. Make sure you're getting enough exercise. And the thing about exercising is that sometimes it, we want to know that it is the reports or research shows that exercising every day for 30 minutes is what we should be doing. But sometimes you think about that, you may not have time to exercise, but you don't have to do the 30 minutes all at one time. You can do 10 minutes here, you know, 10 minutes there until you get your 30 minutes in. But it's making sure that you're doing some form of exercising and getting enough rest. Pray, you know, staying in the presence of the Lord, reading his word. Checking out who's in your inner circle. What emotions are you getting from others? You know, so these are the ways so you can stay mentally well and controlling our emotions. Thank you, Lord. And so thus, Jesus was a good example of how, you know, our emotions and how to control and how to react to different things. And when we're talking about the, you know, our emotions, we have to be self-aware of our emotions. Self-awareness is how an individual knows and understands their own character, feelings, and motives, and desires. So when we're talking about being self-aware, do you understand your feelings? You know, do you understand who you are? Do you understand how you respond to things and when you respond to things, if it's a healthy way or if it's something that is that will cause distress, discomfort, or conflicts? You know, understanding your feelings. Why are you reacting this way to a particular situation? Understanding your motives. Why do you do things the way you do? Why do you take on so many projects and have your plate so full? You know, what's the motive behind it? Why do we do certain things? So this is what self-awareness is. And Jesus was very self-aware. Emotions are internal experiences that impact us. So our feelings, our brain's interpretation of those emotions. Often we don't bring these those emotions to our conscious level. We do not choose to be aware of our emotions because sometimes we just get comfortable in those emotions. But we simply remain, or we just don't understand about them. So sometimes, if we don't understand them, if we're not aware, if we don't have that self-awareness, those strong emotions can hit us, you know, just come out of nowhere and hit us with a heavy blow, and you're wondering, where did that come from? You know, that's what people who react when they say, well, he or she just snapped. Well, it wasn't, you know, that snapped, they came because of not understanding, not being self-aware of how we react, our character, how, you know, what, you know, our feelings, you know, so not being understanding that. And so when those strong emotions hit and a person just comes out of character, all of a sudden you say, where did that come from? Because it's not being self-aware. So we don't want to, we do not create them. They simply happen. So self-awareness allows us to become conscious of these emotions and aware of their intensity. Managing emotions determines a key part of our emotional intelligence because we cannot manage emotions of which we are not aware of. So that's very important. I want to say that again. If we're not aware of our emotions, we can't manage them. So we have to be aware. We need to take the time, you know, reflect, think about, become aware of our feelings and our emotions. And by practicing this, we'll be able to handle situations around us. By practicing self-awareness, we'll bring a kind of intelligence to these emotions. And so that's what that means, enabling us to manage them and then to understand the feelings and emotions of others around us as well. So from Jesus had emotional intelligence, as we looked at earlier, and it was effective in his ministry. It is the key in the sense that without emotional intelligence, Jesus would not have been able to deeply understand the situation of his people. or relate to them in a powerful way. So we think about that in our environment, in our interactions with people, you know, where we are, you know, how do we, are we able to understand the situation that they're in? You know, looking at Mary, you know, Mary and Martha, you know, so Martha was busy about doing things, you know, when Jesus came to visit him, Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. But Martha, you know, she became a little frustrated because she was wondering, you know, okay, Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet, but I'm here doing things. I'm trying to get dinner ready. I'm trying to get, you know, prepare, clean and do all these things. But Mary, why are you just sitting there? And she even asked Jesus, you know, Mary is just sitting there. Can't you do something? Can't you let her know that I need help in here? But what happened is Martha just did not understand the environment. She didn't understand the situation at that time. She wasn't aware of what Mary needed at that time. So she was not aware. So that's what, when we're talking about emotional intelligence and being aware of things, it's also being able to discern what's going on in the environment, what people need that's when they're in that environment, and being able to be able to understand that person's world. And so you may be in, you know, even in your family situation, you know, you have in your family, are you able to understand the world that your family members operate out of? You know, understanding where they are coming from. And sometimes if we are not aware of our emotional feelings about something, we can be quick to judge. We can be quick to, you know, not accept that person for who they are, not understanding their not understanding where they are coming from. So that's being self-aware. Jesus was self-aware. He understood the situation of the people. That's how he was able to meet their needs. That's how he was able to have compassion and to heal, you know, and to bring comfort to those around him. To bring correction when correction was needed with his disciples, you know, understanding the situation and being able to relate in powerful ways. So that's, you know, as we are understanding our emotions, becoming aware of how we react to situations, what our character is, and, you know, we can be able to relate to people in a more sensitive and more powerful, being able to have empathy, understanding where they're coming from. This helps build better relationships, healthy relationships, when we are aware of our feelings, our emotions, what ticks us off, so to speak, you know, just being aware of that. And then being able, we know that a situation causes us to have strong feelings, then we need to recognize that, be aware of that, and then what are you going to do about it? How are we going to handle it? Okay, so that self-awareness, it is the indispensable condition for true spiritual maturity. My goodness, we're not perfect. We're not perfect. We're striving toward that, but we're not perfect, and we're going to sometimes make those mistakes, but when we handle those when we haven't handled our feelings, when we handle our emotions, you know, in an appropriate manner, then that's a sign of spiritual maturity. So the role of self-awareness will become evident as we follow Jesus and obey his commandments. We forgive without limit, because that's the word tells us to do. So we got to forgive without putting a limit on it. And we cannot do that under our own human strength. We need the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to forgive. That we love our enemies. You know, that's the unconditional love. We didn't say we had to accept their, you know, their behavior, their toxic behavior, their inappropriate behavior. We don't have to accept it, but we love our enemies just as we are loved by our Father in heaven. And that love cannot be separated. taken away, that we love our enemies, that we count the cost of following him. You know, we look at, you know, count the cost of following. What are some sacrifices? What are some things we have to give up? You know, some things, you know, we're living sacrifices. We are living stones. We are, you know, just our lives should be every day. Our lives should be a worship experience. We should live our lives through worship, worshiping God. That we love our neighbors as ourselves. And so we love our neighbors as ourselves. Thing is, some individuals may not love themselves. So if they cannot love themselves, they can certainly cannot love anybody else. And so first of all, loving ourselves, looking at, you know, God has created us, loving ourselves, those things, those mistakes in the past, the trauma that has that you may have experienced, you know, those things do not define who you are. You are defined by who God says you are. So love your neighbors as ourselves and other commandments that Jesus set before us. It will be a challenge to put these into practice without genuine and honest self-awareness. So if we want to really, you know, follow Jesus, you know, adhere to his commandments of loving, forgiving, you know, then we have to be aware of who we are. Putting into practice, you know, about our being genuine and honest about our self-awareness. And this is going to take some practice. It's going to take some time just sitting in the presence of the Lord and beginning to allow God to show you who you are, you know, being aware of your feelings and your emotions when situations come up. You know, how are you going to respond? How are you going to react? And I know that there are some things that are going on now in this nation that, you know, have caused and will cause some strong emotions. But how are we going to handle those emotions? How are we going to react and respond to them? So being in the presence of the Lord, following the commandments of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, praying and fasting, you know, getting with, find someone you can trust. Find someone you can talk to who understands you. You can work through the process of understanding who you are, understanding your emotions and your feelings, understanding why, you know, you react in a certain way when certain situations come up. You know, why are you reacting that way? And so get with someone, even if you can't, if that is, you know, if you need more help in understanding that, reach out to a professional mental health provider who can help you work through that process. So this is, you know, I hope that this has been a blessing to you in understanding, you know, self-awareness, emotional intelligence, you know, how to, manage our emotions so that it does not become harmful to us or to those around us. And just, you know, trusting in the Lord. So we have emotions. Trust the Lord with those emotions and become self-aware of who we are and be genuine and honest about it. You know, God knows all about us anyway. So when we go to him and you know, to sit in his presence for him to reveal and to help us to process all of, you know, who we are, you know, becoming more self-aware of our emotions and our feelings, be honest with God. He already knows you. He just wants you to come in agreement with him so he can begin the work. So I bless the Lord for helping us to understand about this, helping us to become more aware so that we can have more fruitful and more healthy relationships, because that's what it's about. Once we become aware of who we are and we can have better, be able to understand other people and be able to understand them in their world and where they are. And that's what Jesus does. You know, he meets us right where we are. And so we having that mindset and that attitude of meeting people right where they are and understanding where they're coming from, relationships will be so much better in this world, and our family members and our marriages, you know, wherever we are. So I bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing us on today. Thank you, God, for giving us understanding. Father, I pray for every person that's listening on today. I pray, Lord, that we will have the desire, oh Lord, to follow your commandments and to be aware of who we are, to be aware of our feelings, to be aware of our emotions. Lord, I pray, Father, that I pray, God, where there is anger and where there is the spirit of anger that has caused confusion, that has caused harm, that has caused conflict in relationships, oh Lord, I pray, God, right now, Lord, that person will receive peace. I rebuke that spirit. I command that spirit to loose them now in the name of Jesus, that they'll begin to walk, Lord, in the in peace, and they'll begin to walk, Lord God, with discipline, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, that they'll begin to understand when that emotion, Lord, is trying to overtake them, Lord God, that they'll be aware of it, Lord, and they will trust you with it in the name of Jesus. So, God, I just thank you and I praise you, O Lord. Hallelujah. I pray, God, for any other emotions, sadness, anyone experiencing sadness today, Father, I pray that you will restore their joy, restore their peace in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, for those who may have who've been discouraged, oh Lord, I pray, God, that you'll give them the confidence and knowing, Lord, that you are there with them in Jesus' name, God, that you'll be the lifter of their heads, that you'll be a shield about them in the name of Jesus, oh Lord. So, God, I thank you this morning, Father, that you're restoring our joy, you're restoring our peace, Father. Oh, God, I thank you this morning, oh Lord, that you give us peace that surpasses all understanding in the name of Jesus. Help us to guard our hearts. Help us to guard our minds, oh Father. If we are in situations where the environment, God, is filled with negativity, Father, I pray, Lord, that we will stand on your promise. You will stand on your word, God. You will that word that's hidden in our heart, God, that it will arise and we'll know who we are in Christ, oh Father, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that we are above and not beneath, oh Lord God. Hallelujah, Father. I thank you and I praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord God, that word, Lord Jesus, we will speak, Lord God, what your word says about us in the name of Jesus and not about our situation, so Father, so that we'll guard our minds, that we'll have the mind of Christ in the name of Jesus. So, Father, I bless you and I thank you on this morning. To God be the glory. Bless City of Victory, O Lord. I thank you, God, for the ministry continue to flourish and prosper in Jesus' name. Bless Apostle Gloria and Bishop Porter, God, in the name of Jesus. They will continue to be strengthened in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for for the refilling of your spirit, Father, everything that they pour out and release, God, that you will fill them, oh God, fill them with your spirit in Jesus' name. So, Father, I give you all glory, honor, and praise in the mighty name of Jesus. You are awesome, God. You are mighty, God, and we just love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen again. Amen. We thank God, amen, for the message, and thank God for the messenger. We thank God for you, Ella Addison, amen. Right now, amen, Rhema word for now, because it's so true. You know, people are going through so much mentally in these times with these emotions. You know, we have a few minutes if you like to call and ask a question or give a comment. Amen. I want to say something or what you have said. Praise God. You have time. Praise the Lord. And the number here is 347-857-3925. And just push the one on your phone and you'll be able to get us. Amen. Praise God. As you was ministering, Ella Addison, all that you had said, what come to me, and I was keeping notes, and centered around one word, and I want you to correct me if I'm wrong. Amen. Pressure. That's what kept coming to my mind was pressure. All that what you have said, even when they came to Jesus, to try to trick him and apply pressure and where he come from and all these things, that pressure. But he always had, amen, something for them. And then this, before I turn it over to you, being something to all people, that's caught my eye. Mm-hmm. And I think we get caught up with that, with our emotion. You know, we can't be everything to all people. And you said something, I wrote it down. It's all right to say no. Now, that's where you'll find out who is who, because that people get upset with you. See?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you say about that? If I'm wrong about that pressure.
No, that's a good point. Very good point. Yes, we do pressure from other people, pressure to perform, pressure to be a certain way, pressure to, you know, to do things that we don't want to do, you know. And so that especially the pressure, when the pressure is coming from someone that that's in authority over us, or someone that we admire, or someone that we trust, you know, that can bring on some emotions that we may not understand or may not realize that we have. For instance, If a child, you know, is ready to go to college, but the parents want them to, they're pressuring them to go to a particular college, or pressuring them to, you know, to go into a career that the child doesn't want to go into, you know, that's pressure, or maybe pressure from, you know, from even from a leader, a ministry leader, pressure to do certain things, you know, that's outside, you know, they may want you to do a particular thing, but you don't feel that the Lord is really saying that, but because it's pressure. And that pressure, too, can also be associated with the spirit of control, I think, in certain situations as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, so that's really – but, yeah, pressure from other people, pressure from society. You know, we have young people who are pressured, especially young girls, who are pressured to look a certain way because of what they see on the media, not realizing that those pictures that they see in the magazines and on media and all of that, those things are photocropped. Those things are, they do something with the photos to make those, you know, those young girls, to those models or whoever, to look a certain way. And so they're pressured. So we have young girls who are pressured to look a certain way or to behave through peer pressure. Peer pressure can come from, you know, in our peers. So as adults, we can have peer pressure too. And so, you know, pressure to perform, pressure to compete. So, Bishop, that is a very good point.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. That's what came to me as you was, you know, and you was on point with all scripture. But that's what kept coming to me, and I had to write it down, you know, that all that come from pressure. Because as you touched on, when Jesus looked out at the multitude coming, and he asked his disciples, he looked at them as sheep without a shepherd, and you said that.
Yeah.
But then after feeding them, 5,000 men, women, and children, the Bible said he left. He stole away. He went into a private place. They came after him. And so when they began to pressure him, wanted to make him a king, you can't make the Lord something he already is. He began to talk to them and say, if you want me, you got to eat my flesh and you got to drink my blood. And they behold, they went to leave him so fast, he looked back at Peter and James and John and said, are y'all going to leave me also? Peter said, well, I'll be gone. You have the words to eternal life. So when the pressure came to Jesus, see, and he started talking spiritual things. See, he got some social distance. He got some social distance. See, so as it is in the natural, the same in the spirit. See, so when people come to us with that pressure, we have to give them what thus said the Lord. If I'm right about that, I'm wrong.
No, that's correct. Absolutely. Because everything points to Jesus. You know, that's we live our lives according to the word. And so when there is pressure, you know, it's, you know, how Jesus, the word, what does the word say about that, your particular situation? Because everything and, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. So there's going to be some answer or promise, you know, to our situations. And so when that pressure comes with, like I said, the fruit of the spirit, you know, how are we going to react to that pressure? And Jesus, you know, he had the compassion, love, the, you know, joy, the peace, and all these things. You know, how are we going to react and respond to that? And then really, really understanding, you know, when somebody says something, why do we respond that way? And so even with Jesus, when he turned over the tables of the money changers, you know, he was angry, he was responding, but he was responding because he was frustrated and angry at what they were doing, because he said, you know, my house shall be called the house of prayer. But they were doing other things there, absolutely. So, you know, so he responded, he reacted, but it was motivated by the because people were not doing what they were supposed to be doing.
Well, God bless you. God bless you, Ella Addison. I tell you, I enjoyed your praise, God. Amen. And we know, amen, that you help, amen, somebody, because the Lord said his word would not go out and return to him void. Amen. God bless you. May heaven continue to smile on you. Service in the hands of Sister Diane.
On my mind, searching for that peace, the peace I could not find. And I kneel down to pray, pray, help me believe. And he said, you don't have to cry, 'cause I'll supply all your needs.
Soon as I stop worrying,
I stop worrying
how the story ends.
When I let go,
I let go.
And I let
God,
let him have,
let God have his way.
That's when things
start happening. I stop looking at that thing.
When I let go,
I let go.
When I
let God,
let him have. Much going on, sometimes I can't find my way, oftentimes I struggle from day to day. I have to realize it's not my battle, it's not my battle to fight. I have to know if I put it in his hands, everything would be alright, yeah. As
soon as I stop
worrying
how the story is,
I can let go.
I let go when
I can let God.
Let
him have his way there.
My sister, you can't handle it. Let God.